I'm April Cummings with your news. The Premier leads a delegation to CARICOM in St. Kitts and Nevis.
On behalf of Cayman and my NCFC colleagues, I very much look forward to enhancing and maximizing Caribbean bonds of fellowship and economic prospects for the benefit of our collective people.
The Honorable Andre Ebanks says Caribbean leaders will address priorities that match Cayman's 2026-2028 broad outcomes, and that includes things like foreign relations, trade, food security, and climate resilience. The meetings are February 24th through the 27th. While the Premier is away, Deputy Premier and Minister for Tourism and Trade Development, the Honorable Gary Ruddy, will serve as Acting Premier. The Commission for Standards in Public Life is asking Cayman residents how tough the rules should be for politicians and other public officials. Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin has more on the proposed changes and how you can have your say.
At the center of the review is a simple question: how much should the public get to see about their leaders' private interests? The Commission for Standards in Public Life has launched a short survey on proposed changes to the Standards in Public Life Act, the law that underpins ethical behavior in government. Right now, people in public life must file an annual register of interest, listing their businesses, property, finances, gifts, and possible conflicts. But that register can only be viewed in person by appointment in Georgetown. One key question in the survey is whether that information should be posted online so it's easier for the public to see who might have something to gain from government decisions. Former Auditor General Sue Winspear, who is helping the Commission review the law, says they want to be more open but also fair to those declaring their interests.
The Commission is keen to promote greater openness and transparency in relation to the information contained in the register, but recognise it is important to strike a balance between public accountability and personal privacy.
The survey also asks whether the information in those returns should be detailed enough for the Auditor General to use it in audits so officials don't have to fill out two similar forms every year. Other ideas on the table include allowing the information to be checked against other government records, requiring personal loans to be declared, and making ethics training mandatory for everyone in public life. The Commission also wants views on penalties for members of Parliament who break the rules. While the Speaker of the House, supported by the Commission, is working to introduce a parliamentary code of conduct, right now there is currently no formal system of sanctions or penalties. The survey takes less than 15 minutes to complete, and the Commission says your feedback can help shape stronger laws to support integrity in the public service. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
For more information about the Commission for Standards in Public Life and to find the survey, visit standardsinpubliclifecommission.ky. A new commanding officer is set to take charge of the Cayman Islands Regiment next month. Her Excellency Governor Jane Owen says Lieutenant Colonel Roger Carter will be handing over the leadership role to Lieutenant Colonel Designate Graham Muir on the 26th of March. Under the Defense Act, Major Muir will be promoted to Lieutenant Colonel. Originally from Northern Ireland, Muir has more than 20 years military experience and currently serves as the regiment's training and operations officer, bringing specialist expertise in leadership development and disaster response. The governor also paid tribute to outgoing commander, Lieutenant Colonel Carter, who retires after 36 years of military service and 3 years leading the regiment's growth in national resilience and regional engagement. The Development and Control Board met today, considering several potential projects in the Sister Islands. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has more on the day's agenda, as well as recent DCB decisions.
First, let's go through some decisions. It was a green light for a contested commercial building construction project for Cayman Brac. The Development and Control Board granted conditional approval for the project on Ryan Drive at their January 12th meeting. The application is for a 6-unit building, which the developer says will house future tenants like a restaurant, pet store, or retail shops, adding that, quote, no alcohol would be sold on site. The neighborhood consists of a cemetery, vacant parcels, and residences. At their January 30th meeting, the DCB punted an application from Rubis for an underground fuel tank on Little Cayman to the National Conservation Council for consideration. In its comments, the DOE noted that the site is man-modified with, quote, limited ecological value, but it's right next to the Booby Pond Nature Reserve. The application is to replace a fuel tank at the corner of Blossom Village Drive and Guy Banks Road with a 6,000-gallon tank. That application headed back to the board today for consideration with some directed conditions if the DCB approves it from the DOE on behalf of the National Conservation Council, including that no equipment, materials, containers, or supplies should be staged, stored, kept, or otherwise left within the Booby Pond Nature Reserve protected area. The board today was also tasked with considering an application from the Health Services Authority for a chemotherapy and dialysis outpatient clinic at Dennis Foster Road in Cayman Brac, next to the Faith Hospital. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
You can find all DCB meeting minutes and summaries online at planning.ky. Government is more than halfway there on the development of an online tool to measure and monitor our island's resilience to climate change.
Climate impacts every aspect of society, and the tool that we are developing will be focusing a lot more than measuring how green we are as a country. Rather, this is about enhancing our resilience and future-proofing across all sectors of society and our economy to ensure our continued prosperity.
The Minister for Health, Environment and Sustainability, the Honorable Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes there, commenting on the National Resilience Project. The ministry hosted an interagency design workshop for the project this month, which brought together representatives from more than 20 ministries, departments, as well as non-government stakeholders. This project has been in the works since July, funded by the European Union through the Green Overseas Program. The Cayman Islands is joining the global observance of the 20th anniversary of the Maritime Labor Convention, which was first implemented locally in 2014. Officials say the MLC has modernized more than 60 international labor standards, strengthening protections for seafarers on Cayman-flagged ships, and supporting fair competition in the maritime industry. There is a new nursery opening at the Queen Elizabeth II Botanic Park, and this weekend, you can get a first look for free.
I'm excited to take this opportunity to show the progress that has been made with our new nursery facilities at the Queen Elizabeth II Botanic Park. While the nursery is still in its early stages, I'm pleased with how far we have come in such a short period of time.
Park manager John Lowris tells Radio Cayman that free open house is set for February 28th. Guided tours of park trails and the new nursery get underway at 9 and again at 10:30. And there will also be a seed propagation demonstration. Admission is free from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Supporting our local ecosystem starts in your own backyard, and we're proud to be making native plants more accessible for the community in the next few months.
The nursery is part of a project aimed at propagating Cayman's native plants and trees, making them easier for residents and landscapers to use while reducing reliance on non-native species. Cayman Connection is celebrating the fifth anniversary of its Making Waves Awards.
Over the past 5 years, we've had the privilege of witnessing Caymanians around the world doing extraordinary things, often quietly and usually without seeking recognition.
Cayman Connection Executive Director Ashley Webster Akinwumi tells Radio Cayman the Making Waves Awards is an opportunity to acknowledge that impact and to showcase Cayman's incredible people.
This anniversary is a celebration not just of individual successes, but of a community that continues to support and uplift one another wherever we are in the world.
Launched in 2021, the Making Waves Awards were set up to celebrate Caymanians living overseas, who were advancing their fields, strengthening communities, and representing Caymanian values on the global stage. Nominations for the 2026 Making Waves Awards will open on the 1st of March, so head to caymanconnection.org/nominate for more information. That is your news. I'm April Cummings from Radio Cayman's Newsroom.